Thank you for helping us make Budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 4 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to partnering with you again in 2012. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday afternoon, January the 9th, we'll be in John chapter 1 with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Jesus is calling disciples here, and this story is interesting for several reasons. There's Nathanael, there's the fig tree, there's a very early and clear confession of Jesus to be the Son of God, the Messiah, and there's perhaps a misunderstanding too. And that is, even at this early stage, these disciples believe that they've done the finding of the Messiah. Is that true? Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. It is great to be back on this Monday afternoon.
In this story, the disciples think they found him, but who really found whom?
Bottom line, Jesus has found Philip. He's called Philip to follow him. That is the bottom line, and it becomes clear in the text. And that is how it is with us, with our Lord, not just with Philip, not just with Nathanael and Jesus. It's how it is with us, with faith. God finds us. Jesus forgives us. The Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel. The faith to believe and say yes to Christ, faith to follow, all of these things, this lively faith and conversion, is the work of our Heavenly Father in Christ through the Holy Spirit. And it is what Jesus makes Philip, in all of this, because of this encountering him, Philip thinks he has found the Messiah. But in fact, for him to even recognize Christ as the one is because faith has been given to him. He's been found by the Savior.
Tell us the story of Jesus, Philip, and Nathanael.
Sure. A short few verses. Jesus is in his ministry, and he's decided now to go to Galilee. He finds Philip. Philip's from Bethsaida, and that's the city where Andrew and Peter are from. And he's told by Jesus to follow him. And then he finds Nathanael, and he says, "We've found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And then there's a little discussion between Nathanael and Philip. Nathanael, a little skeptical, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip says, "Well, you know, come and see." And Jesus then sees Nathanael, who's not believing it yet, not buying it, sees him coming towards him, and then uses his omniscience as the Son of God to say, "Here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." He's able to look into the heart and mind of Nathanael, something no mere man could do. And this catches Nathanael's attention. He says, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "Before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree, and I saw you." Well, Nathanael knows there was no way that Jesus physically saw him under that tree. So, again, another instance of the omniscience of Jesus. This is no mere man. And at that, he says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus then taunts him a little bit, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the tree, you believe? You're going to see greater things than these." And he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And that's the end of the lesson for today, with that reference that takes us all the way back to the Old Testament, to that favorite Sunday school story of Jacob's ladder and the stairs to heaven and the angels. And so here the Son of God links himself to that and to being the gate, the way to heaven and eternal life.
So what exactly is that connection that we find here early in the account of Jesus in John's gospel with, you said, Jacob's ladder?
Well, sure. John is quoting this, Jesus saying that he sees the heavens open, and it goes back to Genesis 28, verses 10 to 17, where Jacob dreams of a ladder reaching up to heaven with angels ascending and descending, with the Lord standing above it in heaven. And if you remember from that story, he promises to bless Jacob. And Jacob then goes on to call that place the gate of heaven. Well, here Jesus is evoking that image, that that instance that comes to us from the Old Testament. And instead of angels ascending and descending, they on a ladder, they ascend and descend on the Son of Man, Jesus said, making him the access to heaven. And this access occurs for us, for you, for me, for our Sunday school children, in our baptism. Because in Jesus' baptism, the heavens were opened and the Spirit descends and remains on him. So in our baptism, the heavens are open to us because of Jesus, the Holy Spirit descending and remaining with us. We become Christ's brothers and sisters, heirs of heaven, children of God, and given access to heaven because we've been brought into his family through Christ Jesus. And beautiful connection here. Just another part of how Scripture interprets Scripture and how the Old Testament's prophecies and events that we talk about so often point to, foreshadow, typify what Jesus is, what he will be, so that when he finally comes, he is recognized. And here's one little example of that.
When he confesses this great confession, which is kind of shocking at the very beginning of this gospel, what is it that, at least at this very beginning, preliminary stage, the disciple is seeing in Jesus Christ, or has been given to see in Jesus Christ? About a minute before we take our break.
Well, sure. He makes this strong confession here, and it's a confession about who Jesus is. He says that Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Israel. He also calls him a rabbi, a teacher, and we know Jesus is all these things. He teaches us the Word of God so that we can grow in faith. As the Son of God and the Son of Man, Jesus is able to obey God perfectly, earning merit for all mankind. And then he is the one who dies on the cross, and his position as God and man makes it possible for him to take the punishment that is due to all mankind. But finally, as the one who conquers sin and death, Jesus is the King of Israel and of the whole world.
We'll take a break when we come back. A few more minutes with Deaconess Pam Nielsen talking about Jesus calling Philip and Nathaniel. Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 4 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to partnering with you again in 2012. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues, etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes. Dedicated customer service and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382, and I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feitinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about John chapter 1. A few verses near the end of that chapter where Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. Pam, the story that is presented here has one little wrinkle in it that I think people often either just skip over or they misunderstand. Jesus says of Nathanael, "Here indeed is an Israelite in whom is no guile or deceit," depending on what translation you want to use. What is Jesus saying about this particular disciple?
Yeah, you might read that and think that he's somehow saying he's perfect or sinless or that kind of thing. But really, Jesus is simply saying that Nathanael, he's kind of forthright. He doesn't hide his opinions. He's not shrewd. He's not a tricky one. He's kind of who he is. And because he's that way, sometimes he's cynical and like, what good, you know, what could come from Nazareth here? But we see in him a forthrightness. And in that often comes the ability to detect a lack of that in others. And really, in all of this, Jesus describing him this way is simply to say that Nathanael is true to himself and an honest man, and that's really it. And it ties to his being skeptical of other people because he's found them to be maybe not honest over his lifetime.
He doesn't rebuke Nathanael. Because if he knows everything, which he certainly has known, he would know about the wisecrack regarding Nazareth. He would know about basically the doubts here, but he does not rebuke those doubts in Nathanael initially.
No, he doesn't. Jesus knows who Nathanael is, and he responds by confessing who Jesus is. And so that exchange, Jesus answers his question really with even less guile than Nathanael, than he credits to Nathanael. Jesus himself truly sees people for who they are. He's not tricked by others either. And in this, he's able to look into the heart of Nathanael. And as he announces that to him, you know, Nathanael is able to believe in Jesus. He hears the truth. He understands it as the truth, and he confesses. And he responds to what Jesus said with eyes of faith, with words of faith that have been given to him by his Lord.
Is even that confession, as remarkable as it is this early in the gospel, is even that the result of what Christ is already doing by working faith in his disciples?
Absolutely. This confession, it is what only Christ can do by his presence. And when we think about that confession, it's no different than the confession that we make. We make confessions of Jesus and who he is. We call them creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. And, of course, we have knowledge that Nathanael didn't of all that Jesus said, did, and who he was. But we don't make up our confessions any more than Nathaniel did. They come from our encounter with Jesus Christ and his word. Here Jesus speaks to Nathaniel face to face. For us, we encounter Jesus just as face to face as we encounter him in his holy word, as he is given to us and poured over us in the waters of holy baptism, and as we receive him on our tongues, in our mouths, in his body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus is working in Nathaniel what he's worked in you and I and every other Christian who believes. And the confession isn't so surprising because this Nathaniel has truly encountered the Messiah and the Savior of the world. He's fully there. He's fully who God has promised him to be. And Nathaniel has him in this encounter.
Are these two disciples that are described here in this section of John's first chapter, are they the very ones, among the very ones, that John was talking about just a few verses earlier, where he says, those who did receive him, who believed on his name, he gave the power to become the children of God?
Well, I think we have to surmise that's exactly it, that this is what John knows is going to happen, and it's happening here before his eyes. You know, in his own ministry, in the few verses before, John talks about that he didn't know Jesus until he was baptized, and it was only at the descending of the Holy Spirit that he was able to recognize the Lamb of God. And this was the purpose of John's baptism, to reveal the Lamb of God, and that really, now that he has come, John's ministry goes away because the Lamb is there, and the Savior has come, and he now has his ministry to teach, to do miracles, to walk the way of the cross for us and for our salvation. And so this Bible story, you know, we started this season with Advent and the coming of John and the coming of Jesus and the back and forth between the two. And now we're going to hear less about John as we move forward to Lent and Holy Week and Easter, because now it's really going to be all about Jesus, who has come in the flesh, come to save us.
Before we let you go, Pam, I understand that this week's Witness Mercy Life Together lesson is the sending of four new missionaries into the mission field. Tell us about that.
Yes, this is really exciting. We have a lot of missionaries that go, but as you can imagine, to send a career missionary, someone who goes for, you know, 3, 5, 10 years, for a long time, makes a commitment, there's not so many of those that go because of all it takes to do it. But this week, the LCMS is sending on airplanes to four separate parts of the world, three separate parts of the world, four career missionaries. And the link that you'll have is part of an email that's going out to every pastor and principal, where we're asking news of this to go in church bulletins this Sunday. We're asking congregations and schools and their chapel and worship services to pray for these missionaries by name. This is some of the most significant news that our church provides, the sending of missionaries into the field. And one's going to Peru, two going to South Africa, and another to the Czech Republic to bear the name of Christ to people who don't know him. And you can read about it here. You're going to hear all kinds of news about it on our website and lots of other ways. But you guys are getting it first because we're talking this afternoon. So Sunday school teachers, open up that PDF on the Issues, Etc. website and talk about missionaries and how the church sends them, and read the stories about these four new missionaries.
Folks, you can find out more about this story at our website, issuesetc.org. We'll give you access to that PDF file that you can download and print off and put in your church bulletin regarding the activities of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together under the Listen On Demand page, issuesetc.org. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is a regular guest. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a great week.
We base our conversations with Pam every week, as we have now for years, on Concordia Publishing House's Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. They will send you a free sample. You just give them a call toll-free, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can actually go and find out more at our website, too, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You'll find a link to Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House right next to the PDF that we're going to provide on Witness, Mercy, and Life Together. In the second hour of the program on this Monday afternoon, we're going to spend that hour with Dr. Paul Meyer of Western Michigan University. The first story that you often hear with the coming of Epiphany, it came on Friday last week, are of these, well, usually they'll say, these three men. Well, were there three? Were they kings? We sing about them. We three kings of Orient are, and we hear about the gifts that they came. Did they come from the East? What is the real story, according to the biblical text, about the wise men who came to visit the Christ child? And of course, it's not just a story about their visit. It's also a story about old King Herod, too, who fears for his throne and goes as far as to slaughter innocent children in order to keep any Christ child from taking it away from him. We'll spend the second hour of Issues Etc. with Dr. Paul Meyer, going through the entire story according to Mark's Gospel, sorting out the, what shall we say, the nativity scene romance, the nativity scene little additions that we stick in there from what Matthew actually tells us of the wise men and the Epiphany in his gospel. That's an hour or two of Issues Etc. with Dr. Paul Meyer. We have a great gift, which is faith. It has been given to us, worked by Christ himself, beginning with those first disciples all the way to us. The fact of the matter is, Christ made the first disciples, and he's made every single disciple since. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.